Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get three-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 a pound with your card. Then get Oreo cookies, Chips Ahoy, or Kool-Aid jammers for $1.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, it's me, Paul Fontaine. No Jeff Hawkins this week. Jeff is off, not unforeseen circumstances. Maybe he'll explain it next week, but hopefully everybody listening and watching, just keep him in your thoughts. It's not my information to share, but hopefully Jeff's going to be doing all right and he'll be back next week. So you got me solo. We'll see how this goes. I'll be paying attention to the chat and maybe help let it direct some of it. I might need you guys' help. If I missed anything, you can let me know and I'll point it out. Before we get going, Jeff and I usually will talk a little bit about the news. And the thing that sprung to mind for me this week was the news that Stephanie Vaquer, who just wrestled on Forbidden Door 13 to 11 days ago, I think, against Mercedes Moné, has signed with WWE. A lot of people thought she was going to be going to AEW. She had gotten an offer from them, but apparently she's always had the desire to work for WWE, and she decided to go there. And looks like she's going to be starting in NXT. Shawn Michaels tweeted out today, we'll see you in Orlando. Looks like she might be keeping her name, but sometimes they'll announce a name and then they'll change it when they start. I've seen mixed feelings on that. I can't see them having a Stephanie in the company. So if anything, maybe she keeps her last name, or they just give her a completely different gimmick. They do the thing that they did with Finn Balor, maybe, where, you know, introduce her as Stephanie Vaquer and then have it changed to the new name, like they did with Fergal Devitt into Finn Balor. So they could do something like that. I think they did the same thing with Kenta as well, when he became Hideo Itami. So could do something like that, I suppose. But I have my doubts. I kind of wish she would have signed with AEW. I think there's better matches for her there. I think they'd probably push her as a bigger star out of the gate. But she's good. So hopefully she'll be okay wherever she is. And she's probably got a much better chance under this regime than she would have had under Vince McMahon. So the other news, Tony Khan did an interview and kind of the same old thing. He says an update on the media rights deal is coming. They're negotiating. I believe the exclusive window is up, but I'm not positive of that. But it sounds like he's still, he's got offers from WBD and they're still negotiating. So hopefully there'll be news soon on that. He says it'll ensure the company's profitability for decades to come. So hopefully he's right. Miguel brought up, and I was wondering who that was. I saw the tweet from Sean Ross Sapp. He's teasing an update on Jamie Hayter tomorrow. I didn't even recognize her, I'll be honest with you. I mean, she's been gone for so long. And funny thing is I took my daughter to a meet and greet with her when they were in Winnipeg. And that was just a few weeks before I think it was March. So it's like 2 months before her last match in AEW last year. And she had the blonde streaks in her hair at that time, I believe. And she did in the picture anyways that we got. So I didn't even recognize her from the photo that was posted on SRS's tweet. So he's teasing an update on her. Obviously, Wembley's coming and people would want to see her on that card for sure. At the very least, hopefully she makes an appearance on the card. I think if it was me, I would keep her as a surprise and then have her show up at the end of one of the women's matches, either Mercedes and Britt or Tony and Mariah. Spoiler alert, we'll get to that. And then have her challenge the winner of one of those matches and then have the big applause in Wembley, and then maybe they do that match, her return at All Out. Or you could debut her before that and then announce that her return match is going to be at All In, and maybe it's not even a title match. You can have a woman's match on the show that isn't for a title, just like they do with the men. So the last match Miguel pointed out was May 28th, 2023. So yeah, I believe that was Double or Nothing. And I would have been there. So either that or it would have been the Dynamite right after it. So she's returning to a very different company, lots of fresh matchups. I mean, you know, some of the same faces are here, but they're in different places, you know, like the Toni Storm, Mercedes wasn't here, obviously. Britt Baker was, and, you know, had a great rivalry with Jamie Hayter. Willow is at the top of the card now. Back then she was, you know, basically a mid-carder. Saraya's around, but, you know, she's kind of the gatekeeper in that division, I would say. You know, Ruby's gone. Ty Mello's kind of gone, although I suppose she could be back soon. I haven't heard anything on her. But yeah, it is different. You know, you got Queen Amanada in lurking. So yeah, Athena on ROH could be brought into AEW at any time. So yeah. So yeah, it's you know, interesting time, and they're heating up for Wembley. I mean, what are we, 7 weeks out of Wembley, 2 weeks away from Blood and Guts? So that's the next big thing. And then after that, it's, you know, full bore ahead. I have Full Gear is another pay-per-view. Full bore ahead to Double or Nothing, or at Double or Nothing, to All In at Wembley on August 25th, I believe. So yeah, and you know, we got a lot of that card was kind of either teased or flat out announced, and we'll get to that as we do the show recap. So it's not just me. Bobby didn't recognize her either. And Bobby points out that he had a love-hate relationship with that episode. Love the beginning and the end, the middle not so much. I tend to agree. I mean, there was one really black spot on the show, in my opinion, and we'll get to that. You know, the rest of the show, I mean, the main event is, or I mean, the first match was one of the best matches in Dynamite history. And the main event was okay. It was good, but then you great angle at the end. So, you know, which is probably all anyone's going to remember. Crowd tonight was, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know if it was mic'd badly or, you know, but at times they were loud. I just think it was, you know, like I think it was maybe not a typical AEW crowd. It was weird. We'll get into it, because I made some notes as I was watching the show, and it was a decent crowd. 4,500. Last time they were in Calgary, which was exactly 1 year ago, it was for Collision, and they did 5,900. So they're down, what's that, 1,400, so about 27%, which is typical for them right now. They're usually down anywhere from 15 to 30% when they return to a market. So, you know, it's still 4,500 is not bad for TV. WWE's got a Raw coming on Monday. They've only sold 5,400 tickets to in Green Bay. So, you know, like they're kind of going, they're slowly kind of creeping up. You know, I think the TV's been really good lately. I saw some people commenting in our Discord, and if you're watching or listening to this and you're not in the Discord, shoot GG email gg@fikingmedia.com. We'll get you in the Discord. Lots of talk on Dynamite days. Like, there's, you know, we have the Dynamite thread, and there's usually like 600 comments in there. So, you know, lots of chatter. And I saw people calling this, you know, one of the best Dynamites of all time. I wouldn't say that just because of that one thing in the middle, but, you know, it's good. And I thought last week was one of the best shows they've ever done. So, and then, you know, the 2 weeks before that were pretty good as well. You know, very, very good, honestly. So, next week is a loaded show. We'll get to that. And then Blood and Guts in 2 weeks. So, you know, I don't think this string of good shows is going to end. And I really do feel like the key for Tony Khan is, if he's going to book a good show, is, you know, stick to what you do well, the wrestling. You know, you got some really talented wrestlers on your roster, and they can do some really good matches. And, you know, some of the other stuff, you know, like, and actually there was another segment I hated that was not the one everyone's probably thinking about, and we'll get to that too, but it wasn't wrestling. So you know, we'll get into this show. One thing of note, and I don't know if this has ever happened, other than when, you know, Danielson and Hangman, when they did their 1 hour draw, I think it was a 1 hour draw, right? Or because Kenny and him had a 30-minute draw. The first hour of the show, between promos and video packages and music videos and whatever else, there was only one match in the first hour. And I mean, it was a long match and it was a freaking great match, but it was one match. And I don't know, I can't remember that ever happening other than, you know, the one hour draw. So that was interesting. And then we had three matches in the last hour. So only four matches on the show, but, and three of them were pretty darn good. One of them, not so much. We got a, we'll get right into the show now. We got the cold open again. No credits, which is weird, no theme song, but we got the recap, I love this, of the MJF promo from Saturday, and they had a near record low audience on Collision, so it was good that they replayed it because it was important. It was, you know, an MJF, and they recapped the angle from last week as well, where MJF turned on Daniel Garcia, took him out, and then they showed the promo from MJF on Saturday explaining it. It was basically, if you didn't see Collision, he blamed the fans. They churned on him. He's making fun of Will Ospreay because he cares more about Meltzer's ratings than Nielsen ratings, which is all he cares about. So that was the 10-minute promo that MJF did, summed up in about 10 seconds. We start with Will Ospreay, and he comes out. And normally when his music hits, there's just this like gigantic pop, and they're going nuts for him. And this crowd, I mean, I got the feeling that it was the miking, though, because as soon as the music ended, you did hear Ospreay chants, but they were kind of muted. So it was either not very many people chanting it or they just weren't mic'd very well. But he thanks the crowd and he says, last week, I'm going to be honest, I was appalled and disgusted, but I was not surprised. I think appalled means you were surprised. But anyways, he heard rumors about MJF. Everyone boos. He said, you're one of the most insecure men in pro wrestling, and last week you showed it. Guy like Daniel Garcia earns every opportunity he gets. The moment he starts creeping up on MJF's popularity, he does whatever it takes to stop it. He delivered a tombstone pile driver from the second rope, and now Garcia's got no feeling in his arms, no idea when he's going to come back or even if he's going to come back to pro wrestling, and you want to blame the people. You want to blame them for opening up and being vulnerable to him. You've been open and spoken about your ADD. Well, I've got ADHD, and it doesn't give me an excuse to be a prick. I've only had a few iterations with MJF, or interactions, I should say, and I can tell you don't like me. And I know why. The bidding war of 2024 didn't go your way because Tony Khan would rather spend his money on guys who will elevate his company than guys that'll shit on it. Reason number two, apparently I'm a talentless hack. You're welcome to that opinion, but last time I checked, I'm in Calgary, and these are educated, smart pro wrestling fans, and we can all agree I've got more talent in my left nut than you've got in your entire body, bruv. Fans chant Ospreay for that one. Says, the main reason you don't like me is I remind people of the main identity of AEW. I represent the foundation of this place. I thought that was Garcia. Anyways, you came swatting back after your injury with a tattoo that said AEW and bet on yourself, but it should have said all about myself, you selfish little prick. You only care about yourself. I feel that from the very moment I stepped foot in AEW, I've been cleaning up someone else's mess. I respect you, Max, but trust me, some people are going to cheer you for being a scumbag, and that's fine. They can do that. That's the best version of MJF, but it's the same old shit for about 5 years, but it's still the best version of you. Now allow me to show you the level of the devil is ground floor, and I'm on the top floor skyscraper, bruv. And this week, I'm not in England after my Nan passed away. I'm here in Calgary, and I'm after a fight. So if you're back there, get your ass out here, and let's handle this, son. And MJF's music hits, and instead of that instantaneous pop that he always gets, we get boos. And I noticed here that Nigel is on commentary, and MJF doesn't come out. And instead, we got a video. Before we get to the video, I'm just looking at the comments, and Bobby points out, is Okada the only person that MJF can't eat alive on the mic? Or Ospreay, sorry, the only person that MJF can't leave on the mic. Hard to say. I didn't love this promo from Will Ospreay, I gotta say. I just didn't like the theme of it, and I find it kind of weird that he's claiming to be the foundation of AEW, even though he just got here a few months ago, and meanwhile, MJF's been there since the beginning. And I suspect MJF will bring that up at some point. But, you know, it's all right. Like, he's getting used to these North American promos. And this crowd just wasn't into him as much as most crowds are. But we got a video from MJF. And he says, look up here, Will. He says, you're doing great. And he's drinking some wine. And he said, you thought I was going to come out there? These people don't deserve to witness my greatness, William. I've beaten all their favorites. They all fell beneath my feet. You think you're any different? You're a joke. You're flavor of the month. I don't have to murder myself like you do. You wrestle for them. You're their dancing toy monkey. Eventually, they'll say they've seen your routine and they'll get tired of it. Difference is, I'm not replaceable. You, on the other hand, they'll call the next flippy guy the best in the world. Great wrestlers are a dime a dozen, but I'm a generational talent. You get in the ring with me, you're going to be exposed. You want MJF? You want me to wrestle tonight? No. I wrestle for the betterment of all elite wrestling, so I got a proposition for you. Next week, MJF versus Will Ospreay for the international title. You're not going to be wrestling for stars. I'm going to be punching you in the face until you start seeing them. And crowd boos at the end of his promo. And then Will says, adorable, Max. I'll see you next week, you little bitch. I like the way he closed. I got to say that. And we're getting MJF versus Will Ospreay next week on TV. So that's the match everyone thought it's going to be Wembley. I still think it's going to be Wembley. I think we'll, I don't know if we'll get an inconclusive finish or, you know, maybe we'll get a decisive pinfall and we'll just do the rematch. I don't know. Controversy of some sort. But last year, if you recall, MJF did, I think he wrestled Adam Cole to a draw. And then they did a rematch at Wembley. So maybe they'll do the same thing again. And yeah, so but either way, we get it next week. MJF versus Will Ospreay, and it's going to kick off the show. So they're clearly loading up next week. 250th episode of Dynamite next week. We got a video package on the Owen. Really good package. Explained how Danielson Page got there. They told us that Jeff Jarrett's special enforcer. I like this because, again, some of the episodes of Dynamite lately have not had great ratings. I assume tonight will probably do pretty well because I don't think there is much in the way of sports competition. I think we do have a pretty big do we have a Copa America game? I think so. Tonight? Yeah. Yeah. There is a Copa America game on tonight. So we got that. There's baseball, but I mean, not a lot. This led into the Owen final, which was Bryan Danielson versus Hangman Page. This match was incredible. We knew it was going to be, but these guys, when they had the match I referred to earlier, the draw, that was my match of the year for whenever it happened. I think it was 2022. I gave it 5.5 stars. I liked it a lot more than a lot of other people did, but I thought it was great. Right at the start of the match, Nigel says, I'd really hate if someone got involved here. And I think like he threw that in there because I think everyone was just waiting for him to do something. And you know, people have been expecting, well, maybe we're gonna get Danielson versus Nigel at Wembley. And that's been, you know, a lot of like hardcore fans, insiders, whatever you want to call them, have been, you know, thinking that match was going to happen ever since last year. And so if Danielson wasn't going to win this match, you know, maybe Nigel's going to get involved and then we're going to see that. And then of course Hangman would win and he get the match with Swerve at Wembley. So he's out there as a special enforcer and he's basically sitting on the ramp for the whole match or most night, you know, up until the last couple minutes, he was just sitting there, you know, and when he needed to, he'd get involved and we'll get into that. But he pretty much, you know, was just a baby face. Danielson's back and neck were all taped up. These guys hit hard for this whole thing. I didn't see how long it lasted, but it felt like 30 minutes, maybe longer. Danielson hit Hangman with a toe, banged his neck into the barricade and started selling it. Shivani was concerned about his neck. Hangman tossed Danielson out of the ring going into the break. Come back. Crowd's dead with Hangman in control, but they got back into it after they noticed that Danielson was bleeding. I guess he did something in the break, busted himself open. And they showed highlights of Hangman banging his head into the ring steps after he got busted open. Hangman did a sleeper swing, and then he started stomping him, targeting the cut. And they did a focus on Danielson, and he's all bloody. And Nigel says, someone chose to have a child with that. He had some good lines tonight, and I tried to write them down. Shivani put over the four matches that Danielson had with Nigel, said they were the best matches he's ever seen. I strongly doubt that Tony Schiavone ever watched those matches. Hangman was chopping the piss out of Danielson, and then he just collapsed at one point. This is where they announced that next week MJF and Ospreay will kick off the show. Danielson fought Hangman off with elbows to the head. Hangman gave him a Saito suplex to get control. Scalper points out Hangman's third tourney match in 7 days. I noticed here Danielson was in pink and black to honor the Owen. And it was interesting that both people that won the matches were dressed in pink. And well, it's pink and black here. And I guess it was pink for Mariah, but it was like a darker pink. I was almost thought it was red, but definitely Owen inspired tights. And nothing like that from Hangman. Danielson missed the diving headbutt. Hangman puts on the crossface. Danielson made the ropes. They go to break again. So two breaks in this match. Come back. Danielson's in control. He went for a back suplex off the top. Hangman ripped off the ring post cover and bashed Danielson's head into it. Looked like it busted him open again. Moonsault by Hangman. Then a tombstone piledriver and Danielson kicked out at two. Hangman's head got busted open as well. They said he may have reopened the cut from Sunday. Danielson rolled out of the ring. Hangman went for another moonsault. Bryan pushed him off and landed on the apron. Danielson did a springboard dive onto Hangman, selling his elbow. Fans are chanting, holy shit. Nigel said he was having deja vu because, like, Danielson's just, like, doing, like, not quite convulsions, but he's, like, shaking his arm and he's all woozy. And refs was checking on him and Danielson shoved him off. And then he started giving yes kicks to Hangman, but he was, like, losing his balance as he was giving them. Just awesome selling. And then he missed one, and then Hangman gave him a pile driver on the floor. Ref jumped right in, and he looked like he was going to stop it. Jarrett runs in, and he's checking on Danielson, and he's telling him, it's not worth it, don't do it. Doc Samson's there as well, and are you okay? Danielson again was busted open. He's got blood streaming down his face. Hangman shoved the doctor away, pie-faced Jarrett. Ref starts canning Danielson out, taking his sweet time. Danielson was going the wrong way up the ramp, and then he turned around, and he got back in just before the 10 count. And then Hangman immediately started pounding on him, ripped off the tape from his neck, and he's very deliberate, which to me, it kind of almost gave away that he was going to lose. He missed a lariat. Danielson hit the Bosaka knee, but he couldn't get up to pin him. They went head-to-head in the middle, and Hangman headbutted him, then Danielson headbutted him, and then they went back and forth before Danielson hit three in a row, and then he dropped him with a round salt. Hangman landed on his feet with a moonsault, and Danielson did the same. Danielson went for another Bosaka knee. He accidentally hit the ref. Hangman hits a discus lariat on Danielson. Then he took off his belt, started whipping Danielson. That brought Jarrett into the ring. Hangman stopped with Danielson. Then he went to Jarrett, shoved him down. And then Jarrett took off his shirt and revealed he's got a ref shirt. So now he's the ref. Danielson rolled him up and Jarrett counted, you know, clean. Counted to two. Great near fall there. Danielson put on the bell lock, gave it up quickly. Then Hangman reversed and hit him with a dead eye. I thought that was a finish, honestly. And then Danielson kicked out at two. Hangman said it was a slow count. He was yelling at Jarrett. Hangman hit the buckshot to the back of the neck. I thought that might be it. Jarrett checked on him, and then he went for another one, but Danielson ducked it and pinned him with a back cradle for two, and I thought that was a finish as well. So I'm just biting on every one of these. Hangman puts on the cross face, and he's gouging the eyes as well. Fans started chanting, fight forever. Hangman pulls him into the middle of the ring. Jarrett, he had been choking him with the belt as well while he had the crossface on. So Jarrett got the belt away. Danielson looked like he was out, and Nigel was screaming, stop the match, stop the match. And Jarrett looked like he didn't know what to do. So then he started to check the arm, and then Danielson, like, he didn't even let it drop once. And then Danielson kind of reversed it into a pin while Hangman still had him in the crossface, and Jarrett counted the pin. This match was amazing. Hangman just left, stormed out of the ring, didn't get into it with Jarrett, didn't get into Danielson, he just left. Jarrett hugged Martha Hart. They brought the belt down to Danielson with Martha. So just a great match. Just checking here the comments. Bobby, great match. Could have done without the ref bump and Jarrett becoming the referee, but I see why they did it. I honestly think they were just teasing that it was going to be something. Like, everyone thought Jarrett was going to turn, so that's why they did that, I think. But yeah, I agree. They didn't really need to do it for where the match went. But yeah, lots of great near falls. Hangman has his out with Jarrett not stopping the match when Danielson looked choked out. Yeah, that, and as well, he hit the, he could have probably pinned him when the ref first went out as well. So, you know, he does have the out, and I think he's beaten Danielson before. So I think now I think Danielson's got two wins. Hangman's got one and they got one draw. So, man, do a best of 50 with these guys. I can't get enough of Bryan Danielson, Hangman Page. So Martha got a mic, and I was worried, but it was pretty nothing. She says, hello, Calgary. It's great to be back here during Stampede Week in Owen Hart's hometown. Fans charted Owen. It's with great pleasure that I award the Owen Cup to Bryan Danielson. And he holds the belt up to a big pop, shakes Martha's hand. She says, we'll see you at Wembley Stadium for your title shot. Nigel's not my champion. And then I thought we were going to go to break, but instead we get whose house? And Swerve comes out with Nana. He's wearing a fur coat. And Danielson just kind of looks at him. And then they do go to commercial. But as far as I know, they didn't say anything to each other because when they came back, Danielson was gone. So, yeah, just a little tease for Wembley. We come back, and now it's a Swerve promo. And he says, I stood on that stage not much more than a week ago staring across from Will Ospreay. And he told me that the best in the world is the one who holds this championship. See, this is the promo I wanted him there to cut last week. But he said a lot of doubt was being thrown around, and I silenced that. Now that I defeated Will Ospreay, you're looking at the best in the world and the AEW World Champion. By the way, congratulations to Bryan Danielson for winning the Owen Cup. It'll be a true honor facing you all in later this year in the main event at Wembley Stadium. But I'm not over you having a pinfall win over me in the Continental Classic, and I hold grudges. We're at two different points in our career. You're on the downside, and me, I'm the most dangerous man in AEW. Speaking of which, it wasn't more than a couple weeks ago, the EVPs walked down to this ring. They stepped in this ring and tried to offer me a spot in the Blood and Guts match on Team Elite. I'm here to officially announce that I will officially join Blood and Guts on Team AEW. Big pop for that. And he says, now, like I said, you do not make a Team AEW and not offer the AEW World Championship a spot on the team. So I'm going to lead this team. And I'm going to do two things that Bryan Danielson failed to do. One, beat Will Ospreay, which he'd already done. And two, lead Team AEW to a victory against the Elite. And speaking of the Elite, we are now in the Dynasty area, right? I got no idea what the hell he's talking about here. He said, three men were appointed the lead of the Dynasty era. First, yours truly, Swerve Strickland. Two, the AEW International Champion, Will Ospreay. And three, the Continental Champion, Kazuchika Okada. So I've already beat Ospreay, so now I'm going to challenge Okada. I'll show you how to make it rain, bitch. So in closing, I'll see you at All In, London, Brian. And this I firmly promise you, Brian, this will be your final countdown. Who's house? So did I miss something where they talked about the Dynasty era and three people that were in charge of it? I mean, it makes sense. I just don't remember it. Are we getting Jared at Blood and Guts or it's in Nashville? I mean, I suppose. I hope not. I mean, the booking leads you to believe the Acclaimed are going to be on there. And then I don't know who the next person is. Danielson, maybe? You could have Danielson. Oh, no, I guess with Swerve saying that, he's going to lead Team AEW to a victory, that would kind of lead you to believe that Danielson's not in there. So we got Briscoe. We got Swerve. If it's the Acclaimed, God, I hope it's not Daddy Ass. Maybe Darby? Darby took out Brandon Cutler tonight, and we'll talk about that later. So maybe it's Darby in there, and the Acclaimed. But I'd be totally fine to not have the Acclaimed and book like Jarrett would be fine. I don't know who the fifth would be. Maybe Orange Cassidy. I don't know. The three wrestlers who shined at the Dynasty pay-per-view ushering in a new era. Okay. I just don't remember that ever being referred to it before, but I mean, it makes sense. It's fine, but it almost feels like something that they talked about backstage and then just brought it up tonight. We got a video package for Willow and Mariah, and it was great. It was a good promo. It was basically the same promo that Willow cut on Collision on Saturday, but they aired some extra video with it, and we had Mariah talking as well. And just kind of, the story of how both of them got to the finals. So another good video package. Then we got something not so good. The Acclaimed and Daddy Ass music video is basically just making fun of the Bucks. They're like doing hijinks in their locker room. Billy Gunn's all over this thing, just making faces. And they're doing stupid cosplay. And it's just really bad. I didn't get all the lines. At one point, they called them leakers to the dirt sheets, cancer to wrestling. Said the Rainmaker only came for the money. Jack Perry's trying to be funny. It wasn't long. It wasn't good. I'm just so done with the Acclaimed. Everybody loves the Acclaimed except me. And maybe there's a few others, but I'm not big on these guys. I like Anthony Bowens. Daddy Ass is fine. Bax Caster, I'm just done with him. He needs to go away for a while. But I don't know. Speaking of needs to go away for a while, Chris Jericho and Samoa Joe, they had a Stampede street fight. And so this was, I don't know, the show I went to in Winnipeg, they didn't even tell us in the arena what it was called, but it was a Manitoba Massacre or something. Someone will correct me if that's not right. It had Manitoba in the title anyways. This was the match with Shibata, where they famously threw hockey pucks at each other. And that match was really good. It was probably the best match of that night. So they tried to do it again here. And spoiler alert, it wasn't as good. Both guys were in jeans and a t-shirt. They brawled to the outside. Brian Keith was out there. I could have sworn Big Bill came out with Jericho, and then I don't know if he just disappeared and he'd show up later, but he when Jericho or when Joe chased Brian Keith into the crowd, I didn't see Big Bill anywhere. So maybe he wasn't out there and I just imagined it. But because I was wondering, why weren't they just interfering? I assume there's no DQ in this match. But Joe chased Brian Keith into the crowd. So now it's just Jericho and Joe. They pointed out that Shibata wasn't there and Hook was obviously injured last week by the fireball. Jericho went into the ring for a bag, and this time he's got horseshoes in it, like six of them. Tried to suplex Joe, no-sold it, and then he started elbowing the shit out of him. Then he dropped Jericho on the horseshoes. Tony Schiavone screamed, "It's a ringer!" Joe hits him with a senton. And then Nigel, just out of nowhere, says to Tony, "You haven't done the matrimonial polka in 20 years. How come the lazy general won't salute?" Like, what is he talking about? And Schiavone was just like, he didn't know what to say, and I don't know what brought that on, but it was funny, but it was weird. But I mean, it was probably the best thing in this match. They went through a break. They come back. Jericho hit Joe in the head with a horseshoe. They brawled into the crowd. Then they went up the stairs. Then they went to the back, and here's where it got stupid. There's a table with coffee on it, and I mean, this table, like, it looks like it's probably been there for, you know, an hour, 2 hours. Like, and then there's a cup sitting there, and Jericho grabs the cup and throws it in Joe's face, and it's supposedly hot coffee. Joe is touching his eyes for a second, but then he just put Jericho in a coquina clutch. And then all of a sudden, Big Bill just pops in out of nowhere, hit Joe from behind with a chair. Then Brian Keith showed up from, you know, one of the tunnels, and they're beating him 2-on-1, and there's a forklift sitting there with a pallet on it. And Jericho, they had pointed out Martha Hart had given him a belt buckle. They mentioned this early in the match. And here Jericho's got the belt on. He takes it off. And he says, "Thanks, Martha." And he clocked Joe in the face with it. And then Bill chokeslammed him onto the pallet. And then Jericho gets in the forklift. Some dude, like, I didn't know who it was. I don't know if he's a wrestler. Like, I thought it looked like Cedric Alexander. I have no idea who this was. He's trying to stop Jericho, and Jericho's just not listening to him. Aubrey's like, "You can't do this, Chris." And Jericho just looks and he goes, "Hi, guys." And then he drove the forklift through a wall with Joe on the pallet. Fans, you could hear some holy shit chants. Joe's gone. And then we'd later see him in a pile of rubble. Cole Cabana was on the screen. He's looking all confused. Then the doctor just stopped the match, and you hear Justin Roberts, "Your winner, Chris Jericho." And that was it. And Jericho says to the screen, "How does it feel, Samoa Joe?" Ha 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 ha. And off to commercial, and that was that. This was terrible. Yeah, I didn't point this out. The wall looked like it was made of paper. Like, there is nothing to this quote unquote wall. Bobby, I don't want forklifts involved in the finish. Hokey cartoon stuff. Totally agree. Back to the previous thing Bobby pointed out, I wouldn't mind seeing Bowens as a single. Yeah, I agree. I've been saying that for a long time. Bowens, I think, could have a nice little run, you know, TNT, Matt, you know, international title, something like that. He'd be really good.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 a pound with your card. Then get Oreo cookies, Chips Ahoy, or Kool-Aid jammers for $1.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We come back from break, and they're still going with this. There's a a stretcher, stretching out Joe to an ambulance. Doc Samson's out with him. He looks like he's lying there, but his hands are like on top of him. They don't even look like they're strapped in, and he looked like he was kept trying to keep them on top of himself. Like, he didn't even look like he was out. And Joe and Big Bill and or Joe Jericho, Big Bill and Keith were watching from the side. And bye, Joe. Bye, bye. Thanks. And that was it. So yeah, then now they put out Joe. They put out Hook. Now I guess they'll probably go after Shibata next. I assume this is setting up a six man, although they already did the six man, but maybe they're doing the six man at Wembley, or maybe it's just gonna be Jericho and Hook for the FTW title. Who knows? But I'm just so done with Jericho. So we go to the ring, and there's four guys in the ring. No entrances. It's Claudio Castagnoli, Pac, Tomohiro Ishii, and Kyle Fletcher. But because of that Jericho shit, we didn't get any entrances for any of these guys. This was called a Global Glory match. And this was awesome. I mean, this was a sprint because they didn't, I don't know how much time it was, but I mean, it feels like they crammed 20 minutes worth of work, 20 minutes worth of awesome work into about 10 or 12 minutes. And they just went nuts on each other, on all of each other. They just all hit these great moves. Gut wrench suplex by Claudio. At one point, Tony Schiavone pointed out they'd wrestled in 41 countries in 6 continents. They went through the crowd. The crowd was dead, but immediately they picked up when Pac hit a poison rana on Fletcher. Claudio hit an uppercut on Pac. Ishii clothesline on Claudio, took down Fletcher. Fletcher hit him with a spinning tombstone. Ishii kicked out at 2.99. That got this is awesome chance. Ishii headbutted Fletcher off the top rope. Claudio hit a giant swing on Fletcher. Huge pop for that. Put on the sharpshooter, and the crowd went nuts. Pac broke it up with a diving elbow, but actually didn't break it up because Claudio didn't give it up. So he puts on the brutalizer. So now there's two subs on Kyle Fletcher. And then Ishii started bashing Claudio with forearms, which he no-sold. Finally broke it up. She hit him with a vertical suplex, and he hit a sliding lariat on Pac, and took off Fletcher's head with a clothesline, went for the pin, but he kicked out. Went for it again, but Claudio hit him with an uppercut, and then a neutralizer from Claudio. Pac pulled him off, and then he went for a pin. Claudio pulled him off. They start arguing. She gives Claudio a German, snap German by Pac on a Ishii, and then he hit one on Claudio. Fletcher rolled up Pac for two. That was a great near fall. Pac took his head off with a kick. Everyone was down. Pac hit a black arrow, and they put the brutalizer on Fletcher, and Fletcher tapped. And just before this match ended, I pointed out, like, it just dawned on me, this match is called a Global Glory match. Shouldn't they, like, give the winner, like, an international title match or something? And I tweet this out, and apparently at the exact same time I was tweeting, Tony Khan also tweeted out that the winner of this match is going to get an international title shot, I believe at Wembley. So yeah, Bobby says, Tony Khan tweets during the match that the winner would get an international title shot. No entrances, and they couldn't have announced a stip before the match. Not even like during the match. So like, I don't know, man. Did anything on the show have more heat than this match? I mean, I would say parts of the opener for sure. But other than that, probably not. Crowd loved the match. I did too, as did Miguel. Now Pac is going to get an international title shot. I believe it's going to be at Wembley. I think that's what Tony said. So, but Pac grabs a mic and he says, things have not been going well for me recently. Since returning to AEW in March, I've made many bold promises, suffered many humiliating failures. I don't know what I'm going to do next, but what I do know is this. It's all in season. The bastard will not be denied my Wembley moment. I can promise you that. Tonight's victory is a line in the sand. The bastard will be back. I am 100% positive that Pac had no idea that the winner of this match was getting an international title shot. Otherwise, he would have mentioned it. He might have mentioned Ospreay and MGF. Whichever one of you comes out of next week with that title, you're facing the bastard in my home country, you know, like something like that. Like, that would have made sense. I honestly feel like Tony Khan decided during this match, either that or he had decided beforehand, but he never announced it. But this was just bizarre. I mean, it was fun, and it's not like it would have made any difference. Like, it's so weird that they had something called a Global Glory match with these four big stars, and like, your first thought would be, why isn't it for a title shot? And then it was for a title shot, but we didn't know about it. You know, it's just weird. Like, I don't know. Curry had John in Memphis says, yeah, it was typical AEW fun match. Yeah, it was. I mean, it was a very, very good match. Like, you know, second best match on the show for sure. You know, given if they would have got 5 or 6 more minutes, I mean, it would have been one of the better matches in Dynamite, you know, and, you know, one of the better matches in Dynamite this year, probably. Yeah, but sorry, I got to take a sip. I used to Jeff doing some of the talking here. So we go to the back. Renee Paquette is back there, and she's just rambling on about something. And then Hangman's there, and she's like, Hangman, can I get a word? And then Hangman just kind of blows her off, and then she just loses it. She's like, Hangman, excuse me. I need respect for what I'm trying to do here. It's like, whoa. Like, I mean, I know that they've got their history, but it hasn't been in a while. And she just kind of went from 0 to 60 in like 2 seconds. And Hangman just blew her off. And he's banging on the door of this room, and he's trying to get in. And then all of a sudden Okada comes out, and Hangman just tries to get past him, and Okada's not going to let him. And then all of a sudden the Bucks come out, and Matt says, fancy seeing you here. Anything we can do for you? And Hangman looks at me and says, I'll do it. So, you know, he's on Team Elite. And Okada asks, are you okay? And they said, yeah, we are now. And then they go back to the announcers, and Excalibur's like, what does he mean? I'll do it. What are they? And then eventually he talks himself into the fact that, oh, yeah, okay, he's on Team Elite now. So, yeah. So, I mean, this was natural. I mean, Hangman, I thought Hangman was going to win the match and get the shot at Swerve at Wembley. And then I figured, you know, he'll join Team Elite and he'll submit Swerve in that match to set up the title match. You know, that's not the way they went. They went with Danielson going for the world title in his retirement year last time at Wembley. I mean, that's a story. I'm sure we're going to see Danielson at Wembley again. But yeah, Danielson going for the title at Wembley in the main event. And yeah, it's you know, it's a good story. And then we can have, you know, Swerve and Hangman here at Blood and Guts, and maybe Hangman does, you know, get the win on Swerve, and then he gets a future title shot down the line. So I'd like to see that, because I just feel like Swerve's gotten the better of this feud, but, you know, we'll see. I'm a big Hangman fan. Let's see if there's any comments on this stuff. Yeah, good to see Okada act like a badass toward Hangman. Absolutely. No comedy here as well. Thanks, John. He says I'm doing good. Love to see Rick Shane Pac at Wembley. I mean, I don't think we're going to see that, because I think Pac is wrestling the international champion at Wembley, but I don't know if that was really clear. So I don't know what's going on, man. Like, I think we're getting Will Ospreay and MJF rematching at Wembley. So maybe the Pac match happens in Blood and Guts. I don't know. They got to do a better job of explaining some of this stuff. But anyways, next up is the Mercedes Championship toast. Not to be confused with the double championship celebration we had last week. So she comes out and she says, Calgary, say hello to your CEO. And fans booed that. She says, I'm so honored to be there for you tonight to celebrate my double championship victory. First off, I want to shout out my boys, the EVPs, for the extra security out here. And she goes, because I will not be interrupted. And she says, before we celebrate, I want to set the record straight about past, present, and future. These two titles are the past, present, and future, because I'm the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be. The crowd hated that here in Calgary. And Nigel claims he's never heard that before. And as far as Britt Baker goes, wake up from your stupid fantasy about facing me at All In. If you did face me, I'll leave you with more than herniated disc and a stroke. I'll leave you for dead, bitch. So grab your glass. Let's pour a little toast and raise it up to the greatest of all time. Two belts, Mert. And before she can finish her sentence, Britt's music interrupts. She comes down to the ring. Mercedes bailed. And Excalibur says that Britt will not get her Wembley moment. So that's two people talking about Wembley moments. I think it's the new WrestleMania moment, which is fine. It's their signature event. They should market it. Fans are chanting DMD. Mercedes left through the crowd. That was it. They didn't touch. And we didn't hear from Britt. So that was that. That we go come back from break. And I think I might have missed a couple seconds of this, but it's basically a Darby promo. He's back. He's there in his pink coat. He said, Elite, you thought this was over. Dynamite 250, we're just getting started. So I'm calling you out for next week. And then he leaves, and behind him, Brandon Cutler's laid out. And so that's the elite's lapdog. And next week, he's going to go after Matt and Nick, I guess. And I would expect we're going to see him on Team Elite. So they do the entrances for the main event. And Mariah, as I pointed out earlier, wearing pink and black. So different shade of pink. But this is like more like the Bret Hart pink, whereas earlier Danielson was wearing the Owen pink. So just a little bit of a lighter shade. And Willow was dressed in yellow and black, which for younger people may not remember, was what Owen wore in the Nation of Domination when he was in there with The Rock and D'Lo and Godfather, Mark Henry. It sounds crazy, but that was the group. And it's kind of cool that Willow, you know, the black woman, was wearing the Nation of Domination gear. So. Tony Schiavone pointed out we have an overrun, which is good because there's only 11 minutes of the show at this point. And that if Mariah wins, she's going to face her mentor. And if Willow wins, she's the first ever two-time winner. So even though I think pretty much everybody expected Mariah to win because, you know, that's Mariah and Tony is the match. There was a story here about Willow winning, becoming the first two-time winner. At some point, somebody's going to be the first two-time winner. So they pointed out next Collision on Saturday, the only thing they've announced, even though they're taping it tonight, was Claudio Castagnoli versus Tom Billington, the nephew of the Dynamite Kid. So this will be his second AEW match. Last time he fought Dax Harwood. Fought. Yeah, they like to say fought. Dynamite next week, Ospreay versus MJF for the international title. Swerve versus Okada. So that's been officially announced for next week. Champion versus champion. And they didn't point out any belt on the line. That's all they announced, although Darby Allin as well said he was going to be there. So, and then 2 weeks away, Blood and Guts. It's the Elite on one side with Hangman against Swerve, Mark Briscoe, and three people to be named. Tony Schiavone said there's only two more members, but Excalibur corrected him and said it's three more. So we got three more members to come. I assume, like I said, Darby's going to be one, and I don't know. The Acclaimed look like the other two. I just hope it's not. Let's hope it's Jarrett and somebody else. Nightingale took Mariah out of the ring, and that led into a break. They come back. There's 6 minutes left in the show at this point. Mariah is in control. She did the Sweet Cheeks music and a DDT for two. So instead of the pile driver that Tony does after that move, she did a DDT. Crowd was pretty mild at this point. I think they were cheering for Mariah for the most part. Eventually they got behind Willow, but Willow was hitting stuff. Like here, she hit a spine buster and then she went for the sharpshooter and people were booing that. So I think they really were going for Mariah here. Mariah powered out before she could get the sharpshooter on. Mariah hit a German suplex. That got a big pop. Running uppercut by Mariah May. Nigel called Tony the excellence of elocution. He's probably used that before, but it was appropriate here. We got forearms by Mariah. Crowd definitely was behind Mariah May. Mariah, they pointed out, had beaten two former world champions to get here in Hikaru Shida and Saraya. Whereas I think Willow had beaten, it was Chris Statlander, I know, in the last one. I can't remember who she beat the first one, but I don't think they were former world champions. Was it Serena Deeb, maybe? I can't remember. But crowd's chanting for Mariah. She went for a running knee. Willow ducked, hit a fisherwoman's bomb for two. Willow goes for the pounce, and this was great. Mariah, at the very last second, headbutted her, and they both went down. Willow is actually the first one up, and she gets up by the ropes, and then someone at ringside in a Sting sweatshirt. And I thought it was probably, because the person was completely covered, so I thought it was probably Statlander, but it looked too small to be Statlander, so I wasn't sure. And for whatever reason, I didn't think of Stokely, but that's who it was. And Tony was involved with the ref on the other side. And then from out of nowhere, Statlander comes in and took Willow's head off with a kick. And Tony had the ref distracted, so they missed all that. Mariah hit a running knee, got a near fall. Crowd booed the kick out. And then May went for the same roll-up that she used to beat Sheeta, but she only got two. Some people were chanting AEW. Then Willow hit a lariat for two. And at this point, like, she's not even selling that thing that, you know, the interference from Statlander. So I'm not exactly sure why they even bothered to do it. It probably really wasn't necessary, but whatever. Willow lowered her strap, crowds behind her. She went for a cannonball. She missed it. And then Mariah just rolled her up for three. And that was it. So she's done. Tony's ecstatic. Willow shaked her hand. Mariah jumped into Tony's arms. Tony points at the trophy. They hold hands. They're skipping up the ramp to the trophy. And then Tony's looking at the trophy. Mariah grabs the belt. And all of a sudden, she just laid out Tony with the belt. And she starts whipping her with it. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I wrote down, and then she lays out Luther, starts whipping Luther. She kicked Tony in the gut. Tony was just completely busted open. She hits Luther with the belt. He flew off the stage, took a bump through a table. Tony's crying. Mariah grabs a shoe, starts bashing Tony in the head with it. She's just grinding the heel of the shoe into the cut. And her face was just covered in blood. Mariah's just vicious at her, like just psychotic. Refs come out to break it up. Mariah just goes nuts. She drops Aubrey, which the crowd gasped at that because, you know, I think Aubrey's taken a bump like once before to like Karen Jarrett. So, you know, like that's somebody that, oh man, you touch Aubrey, shit's on. And Mariah starts rubbing her face in Tony's blood. Fans chant, you sick fuck. And they went off the air with Mariah just holding like a lifeless Toni Storm. And that's your women's world title match. John earlier tonight asked this question. Could that match be the main event of All In? I don't think so. Someone in our Discord who usually has information correct, I don't want to publicly call them out here, but pointed out that they had heard that the main event was going to be the AEW World title match, which at this point is, and I don't see any reason why it'll change, Bryan Danielson against Swerve Strickland. So I think that'll be the main event. I've said on this show last week, I thought Britt and Mercedes could be the main event. I honestly believe that, like, oh, like there's a lot of heat for a lot of this. John said this is the first time AEW strongly booked both women's championships for a major PLE. Yeah, probably. I mean, I'm trying to think of one, and I don't recall. Maybe last year. Although I can't remember, like, honestly. So, I mean, I definitely not this strong. I mean, we're still 7 weeks out, but, you know, both of these are going to be really hot by the time we get there, I think. Miguel pointed out, great catch on the Willow Gear. Thanks. I mean, I'm the biggest Owen Hart fan in the world, so I'm not going to miss that one. Hated the way they announced Swerve versus Okada. Yeah, I mean, they just had so much going on tonight that, you know, I think that, you know, they just kind of lost. And it's sad because, like, it's a big match. And they weren't even clear if the titles were on the line. So, yeah, that maybe Okada could have actually addressed that, you know, in that little thing that he was in with Hangman, but whatever. Bobby points out he thought the Mercedes Britt segment from last week and a good segment this week overshadowed and took some air out of Tony Mariah's storyline, but they got that heat back this week. Oh, did they ever? I mean, Mariah's got some splaining to do. This kind of came out of nowhere, so I'm kind of like confused by it, but I'm also intrigued. And clearly, Mariah, like, I feel like Mariah and Harley Cameron somehow gotta get connected. Maybe Harley turns on Soraya as well, and like, because I think those two would be gold together. I know they're friends in real life and they're both kind of unhinged, so you know, those two together would probably be a great team, I think. But Tony was definitely the baby face and Mariah was definitely the heel, but I have a strong suspicion that the fans are really gonna love Mariah coming out of this, so it's gonna be interesting, and especially at Wembley. So Miguel points out it felt fresh, raw, and violent. Yeah, yeah, definitely did that. The visual of Mariah standing over a busted up Tony was a hell of a visual to end the show. Absolutely. I mean, this is the kind of thing that's going to get people talking. It's going to get people tuning in next week to see what's up. Tony and Mariah was hot. A lot of people were saying it's too early to break them up. I mean, they did it, and they did it well. And I think, like, you know, again, it's the key is going to be like, the only thing I would caution is it was so strong that people may actually get behind Mariah. This might be kind of like the Hangman Swerve stuff from last year, where Swerve was a total badass heel and the fans cheered him anyways. So we'll see what happens. Yeah, John, good start to book three major storylines. I mean, if anything, the world title match feels almost like the fourth biggest right now. Like, got a lot of time to get there, but I mean, I think MJF Ospreay feels hotter. I think Britt and Mercedes feels hotter, and I think Tony Mariah feels hotter. And we still got whatever Pac's going to do, and you know, it's a AEW pay-per-view, so that's five matches. We probably got 10 more coming. Miguel said, no way, perfect time to do it. Hey, you know, I mean, it worked. So that's, I'm just saying, like, going in, people thought that because there was still legs. They haven't even hinted at a split. So, you know, there's two ways to do it. You hint at the split, you tease it for a long time, and then you eventually give the people what they want. That's what they did with Sammy and Roman in the Bloodline. That's what they've done that with other people. And and AEW's done it too, you know, with Adam Cole and MJF, you know, for the longest time. Here they just did it suddenly out of nowhere. So now you just have to explain it. That's all. Does it hinder the world championship run for Swerve? I mean, maybe. We got 6 weeks to heat that feud up. The only problem I'm going to see here is Swerve is the babyface, but yet Danielson is the sympathetic legend going for his first ever title in AEW in his last year as an active competitor. It's going to be hard to get heat. You almost have to turn Swerve for this storyline, which you can do, but it just like, are we going to have that actual heat between the two of them? That's the key. I think maybe this is why I thought Danielson and Swerve on the same team, and then maybe they have some miscommunication and they lose the match. And then now you've got some heat between the two of them. I mean, maybe you could do that. Miguel asks, does Tony Mariah mean less buys for All In? Like in the main event, I assume you're talking about? I don't think so. I say they do it and use a hometown crowd to make Mariah May a made woman. I'll say this. I don't think it matters what main events the show. So in that sense, you're right. If you remember last year, and I don't know if you were listening at this time last year, Miguel, people that were, and Jeff, I'm sure would remember, there was a time when I thought Jamie Hayter, I can't remember who it was that I said she would do it. It was either Tony Storm or Britt Baker at the time that I said those two could have main evented Wembley last year. But then Jamie Hayter got hurt and, you know, it just never happened. And then, you know, we ended up with Adam Cole and MJF. And I mean, the honest thing is like Adam Cole and MJF, the TV was revolving around them, but it's not like that match was heated. It's not like, you know, I mean, people were into them as a team, but they didn't necessarily want to see them wrestle each other. And I think like a lot of people expected that that's what we were going to get this year with Mariah and Tony. And it was going to be like, okay, well, great. They're going to wrestle, but you know, is it just going to be like at the end of the match, they're going to hug and they're just going to go back to being, you know, the Tony, the starlet and Mariah is the mentor. No, I mean, now we're going to get actual heat. So I don't know does this cause Tony to flip back into regular Tony Storm? Does she even descend further into madness? Does Mariah just call her out on being a delusional freak? She's going to say, I suckered you in and I got what I wanted. Now I'm taking your title. Like, I don't know. I don't know. Bobby says he thought they took some heat off Hangman tonight. They need him to beat the crap out of people, especially Swerve and Blood and Guts. Yeah, absolutely. Cause I mean, what's Hangman, like what's he going to be doing at all in? I suspect there's going to be some sort of a stadium stampede match and he'll be a part of it. That would be my guess. Probably the Blackpool Combat Club on the other side. Cause I don't really see anything for them other than Danielson. So who knows? I mean, we've got a long way to go, but yeah, he's clearly in Blood and Guts and probably coming out of Blood and Guts will have some solid stuff for all the people in that match. Hayter returning it all in and a Hayter Mariah face-off closing shot of the pay-per-view. That'd be awesome. And yeah, and it would send a message about TK making the women's division our priority. I mean, that would make a lot of people happy. I mean, when we talked about it last week, these are all the same reasons I was talking about Britt and Mercedes as the main event, possibly. And people were kind of shoo-shooing that because they weren't sure that Mercedes and Britt would be a good enough match to main event the thing. I've seen Britt have great matches. I've seen Mercedes have great matches. I have no doubt they'll practice the match a lot and it'd be great. Mariah and Tony, I have no doubt they would have a banger of a match and a lot of pressure being in the main event of the Wembley show. I think after this angle, there's going to be a lot of people talking about it and a lot of people pushing for this to be in a main event. So if I had to guess, if I had to bet right now, I'd say no. But I also think sometimes you make plans and then stuff happens and you have to pivot. And this is the kind of angle that I just feel like people are going to be talking about. You know me, I don't really see much on Twitter. Maybe you guys, if you're following it on social media and you see the kind of reactions this is getting, our Discord, everyone loved it. So, you know, this could be the kind of thing that Tony Khan, who I know is on Twitter and reads all the feedback, looks at it and says, holy shit, we got something here. Maybe we should main event with the women. because like Miguel said earlier, this is not going to hurt the pay-per-view buys. It's not going to hurt ticket sales. I think now that we're getting some matches, you know, they've already sold 40 and 45,000 tickets. They'll probably sell another 10 before the show. So we're going to get somewhere 50 to 55,000 and it doesn't matter what the main event is. So, you know, after Forbidden Door, you eventually have Mina involved in the Tony Mariah storyline. Yeah. Unless WWE signs her. I don't think that's going to happen, but, did I expect Mariah to turn on Storm? No, I thought Tony was going to turn on her at some point. The fans love Mariah. So this is, like I said, it's going to be so tricky because I'm trying to think of an angle where this happened, where it didn't work out the way they expected, where like somebody turned and then the fans ended up getting behind the person that should have been the heel. I know it's happened many times before, but I feel like that might happen here. Just because like people love the idea of a violent woman who is unhinged. And then you got Tony, who's probably going to be crying and going to be acting. And just, I think Luther, maybe that bump was writing Luther off, which I'd be totally fine with. And I think Mariah is going to need an ally. And again, I'd go back to that Harley Cameron. I think they'd be gold together. But yeah, I'm really interested now. And that's the thing. Jeff will often ask, when we come out of these shows, are you more interested in the pay-per-view coming out of this or less or the same? I'm way more interested in All In after this. I assume the people watching and listening are as well. The comments are telling me that they are. John, Toni Storm is super hot. Are you talking about like she's a hot character or she's a hot woman? We know she's a hot woman, but a hot character? Yeah, probably. But yeah, I don't know. I think Mariah's hotter. And again, I'm talking about hot character, you know, like people behind and everything like that. So they're both, you know, and same thing with Britt and Mercedes. Like Britt as a babyface coming back. If anything, tonight, I thought maybe a little down from last week. Mercedes is definitely a hot heel. I think that the dynamic there will be perfect. But I also think that, you know, at Double or Nothing, Willow and Mercedes over Shawn almost the entire card, but definitely the other woman's match. And really being there, and I know some of you watching and listening were there. I know John was there. It's funny because going in, I thought the idea of Willow and Mercedes headlining that show was ridiculous. Coming out of it, I think it should have headlined. It was great. Miguel points out more than just a good night of matches. I'm excited for the follow-up. I mean, hell, they set up a card next week. I mean, there was only two matches, but it sounds like whatever else they announce is probably going to be huge too. You know, we got the champ versus champ, Swerve and Okada, a legit dream match. We got MJF and Ospreay, which is a pay-per-view match for the international title, kicking off the show. And 1 week's notice. Hopefully they sell some tickets. We'll all be watching, I'm sure. Hopefully Jeff is going to be back to recap it with me. And yeah, I'm super excited for the company. And you know what? You guys know me. I'm a WWE fan too. And they're doing some great stuff over there too. So as a fan, I'm really happy that both companies are doing good stuff. And they're both completely different. So if you're like me and you like lots of different kind of stuff, you can enjoy both. If you're like, you know, you're super hardcore AEW fan and you just can't stand the stuff that they do, you know, in the Fed, that's fine because they're doing great stuff now in AEW. And then over the knee, we don't like that indie shit. We don't like the flippy flops. Well, that's fine because you got great stuff too. So great time to be a wrestling fan. Some great stuff coming up. We've got, Blood and Guts in 2 weeks. We've got SummerSlam coming up. We've got All In, All Out. Great time to be a wrestling fan. I've been going nearly an hour talking nonstop. So here we go. Bobby points out Mercedes has an open challenge on Dynamite next week. So who do we think that's going to be? Tony tweeted out Mercedes has an open challenge. Well, you know what's stupid? Britt Baker should be the one to accept it. I don't think that's going to happen. Sean Ross Sapp pointed out there's an update on Hayter, so people are going to wonder if it's her. Hopefully it's not somebody like Serena Deeb or something like that. But I think people are going to expect it to be an outsider. Natalia Neidhart, you know, is a maybe that, you know, she's not signed, but then that would have been dumb because if they signed her, they should have debuted her this week. Where's the show next week? Does anybody remember? I don't even remember. I know 2 weeks from now is in Nashville. I don't know where next week is. Oh, Little Rock, I think. Yeah, I think they said Little Rock for the 250. So I don't think that means anything. Yeah, you know what? I don't want to get my hopes up on anything. Trying to think if there's anybody that's been hoped for a while coming back. Yeah, Natalia's contract expired. Now it's possible she re-signed. It did expire. So it's possible. There's been no word on whether or not she re-signed. She hasn't been on TV since her contract expired. But you'd think that if they signed her, they would have debuted her this week. So, although, I mean, that would be a shock to have her show up next week. So, Ricochet can't challenge for the women's title, so that's out. I don't know. I don't know who else is available. I'm sure there'll be some talk. So, we've got, you know what? There's that match on Saturday in San Jose. Take a look at who those three or four women are in that match. And see, maybe one of those women will be around to challenge Mercedes next week. So we'll see. We'll find out next week. Like I said, I've been going over an hour here, and I didn't think I'd last this long. So I want to thank you guys for keeping the chat going. And if you're listening on audio, I want to thank you for listening. Hopefully my voice didn't annoy you too much for an hour. Next week, hopefully Jeff's back. If he's not, again, hopefully he is, but if he's not, I'll try to line somebody up. This was totally last minute. I think it was during the show that Jeff let me know. So otherwise I probably would have lined up a co-host. So, I'll be back next week. Hopefully you guys will be too. And, till then, we'll talk to you, next week. So for Jeff Hawkins, who's not here, and for all the good folks here at Fight Game Media, this has been the Dynamite Show. Later.
Saving money on everything now at Menards. Create fresher, cleaner air with damp-rid products. Control the humidity in your space with a hanging bag moisture absorber. They're great for closets and laundry rooms. Grab a 3-pack on sale through September 8th. Save big on damp-rid moisture absorbers at Menards. America's number one home improvement retailer for customer satisfaction, according to J.D. Power. Visit jdpower.com for details and menards.com for deals.
Save big money at Menards.
Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 a pound with your card. Then get Oreo cookies, Chips Ahoy, or Kool-Aid jammers for $1.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.